The number of Iowans who struggle paying their bills without public assistance has increased to the point that 1 in 5 find themselves in financial trouble. Today, 300,000 Iowans are in that boat, an increase of 73,000 people in just 1 year. So what's going on? And why are Iowans struggling? Well, to put it bluntly, Iowa is a low-wage state. The average annual wage of a working Iowan is thousands of dollars less than in neighboring states Missouri, Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota. I reached out to Natalie Veldhaus of the Iowa Policy Project. They've just released an economic study on the situation, and that story is coming up next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot Trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. On our newsmaker line, we have Natalie Veldhaus, who is a research associate with the Iowa Policy Project. Not the first time that the Iowa Policy Project has been on the Business News Hour, but this is a first for Natalie. Natalie, welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're going to be talking about wages and Iowa. And the reason we're talking about this is that recently I saw a piece fly across our screen that indicated that Iowa continues to be one of the low-wage states in the nation. And so that's a little troubling for people that live here or maybe want to work here or maybe want to move here. And so... This is something we don't often hear about from our friends in the business category. I would say the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, the Greater Des Moines Partnership, the Iowa Chamber Alliance. I don't hear the Iowa Farm Bureau. I never hear that Iowa is a low-wage state. But according to the numbers that you put together for everybody, it is. Can you explain that?
Sure. Iowa has been a low-wage state for a while. We trail behind Midwest and U.S. averages. And a lot of what we're hearing lately is that we have a low unemployment rate, that Iowa's economy is doing well,
right.
And you can tell that because of the low unemployment rate. But really what that's masking is the fact that, you know, Iowans do participate in the workforce at a very high rate, higher than the Midwest average, but many Iowans have low-wage jobs, and many Iowans have no benefits, and we see some Iowans who are piecing together multiple part-time jobs. So those are realities, you know, that aren't really reflected in the unemployment rate.
Yeah, we've seen some numbers about that, indicating that there's a vast number of people who are working one or two or maybe even three part-time jobs and would much rather have a full-time gig someplace, maybe even with benefits, but they're unable to do that for any number of reasons, or that the jobs that are out there that are currently in need, and the Greater Des Moines Partnership, by the way, says just in central Iowa, there are 17,000 jobs going wanting.
Mm-hmm.
But those tend to be, I suspect, lower-wage jobs?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there are a lot of jobs available. We have a skills gap in Iowa where, you know, there are jobs available, but that a lot of, you know, people who would be interested in those jobs might lack the skills needed to, you know, perform certain job duties. So really, thinking about that makes us look at how we're investing in our K-12 schools, how we're investing in, you know, colleges, trade schools, and community colleges, and how we're going to be able to make sure that Iowans have the skills and the education needed to fill those jobs that are higher wage and have better benefits.
One of the things that we noticed from your piece that you wrote and is the fact that is unionization, is individuals who belong to labor unions continues to dwindle. That seems to have an impact on the overall wage health of a state. Is that accurate?
That's right. So as union membership declines nationally, we see this trend where membership is declining and income inequality is growing. And really, when labor power is weakened, wages suffer, and we're seeing that in Iowa.
And as we look to our northernmost state, in Minnesota, I understand by looking at the numbers that their union participation is about triple what it is here in Iowa, and that has resulted in Minnesota being a much higher wage state. Is that, again, accurate?
Yeah, yes, I would say that, you know, having higher wages, you know, is associated with higher union membership. And recently, you know, we're a right-to-work state, and, you know, with the gutting of collective bargaining for public sector unions, there are a few things going on in Iowa, you know, that continue to undermine labor power.
And what might those be? Obviously, the right to work, yeah.
Right, yes, and the gutting of collective bargaining a couple years ago was really not great for worker power in public sector unions. And this is all connected to this other trend where we see stagnating wages in Iowa basically across the past 40 years. Meanwhile, worker productivity, or really the value that Iowa workers are adding to the economy, continues to increase. So there's this disconnect between the value that workers are producing and, you know, their flattened wages. And there was a time when, you know, productivity and wages were rising together, and we really saw that diverge in the 1970s. And what this means is that, you know, that productivity is being captured as business profits and not being widely shared with the workers who are producing that value.
Well, that's an interesting correlation. Worker value continues to go up. The production value continues to go up, whatever that happens to be. And yet workers are stagnant in their wages. I know you don't make predictions on things. You just look at the facts. I get that. But as we look at this, this can't be good. I mean, it's got to be good for business, because business, I mean, we're a business broadcasting opportunity here. It's got to be good for them, because they continue to reap the profits of high worker productivity and don't necessarily have to share in the wealth, I guess.
Right. I would say, I think there's another argument, too, that, you know, when workers are unable to meet basic needs based off of income alone, and, you know, we're not seeing strong investments in things like healthcare and education, that in the long run, that can actually be a problem for employers. And that really investing in our workforce and making sure that, you know, people who are working full time are able to meet basic needs, you know, those things are important for Iowa's economy as well. So it just looks at, you need to look at the way that you're measuring the health of our economy. Because if you're looking only at, you know, productivity or a low unemployment rate, it might look okay. But really, when you're looking at how many Iowans are working and are unable to, you know, buy groceries or refill medications and things like that, we're really not in a good spot.
Well, this past year, the Iowa legislature enacted a pretty good-sized tax cut for business. Everyone out there in the business categories, all the organizations that work with businesses, clamored for this, saying that the reason nobody is moving their business to Iowa is because on paper, it looks like Iowa is a high tax state. So they enacted a significant tax cut for businesses. I suspect because of that tax cut and the 2017 Tax and Jobs Act that was passed by the United States Congress and signed by President Trump, that we should see wages just start to skyrocket here in the Hawkeye State. Yes?
I mean, you would hope so. You would hope that, you know, tax credits for business would result in higher wages for workers. I would say that the research does not really show that. And it's interesting, too, when we're thinking about, you know, taxes and businesses in Iowa, because additional research shows us that, you know, the taxes that are needed, that businesses need to pay within a state, really amount to such a small percentage of their overall operating costs that it is probably not a very consequential factor in decision making and, you know, bringing a new branch to Iowa and different pieces like that. So, we are, you know, critical of the ways that we are losing money through the tax code, and then, you know, struggling to make public investments that are strengthening our workforce.
Natalie Veldhaus, ladies and gentlemen, is on our Newsmaker line. She is with the Iowa Policy Project. She's a research associate there, and it was due to her work that interested us in having this conversation. When you speak, and I suspect the Iowa Policy Project does speak to employers across the state of Iowa, what are you hearing from them, other than the fact that they can't find workers?
Right. I think a lot of what we're hearing is that, you know, it can be a struggle on both sides. And I think that policy-wise, there are a lot of ways to support smaller businesses that, you know, would result in higher wages. And I think a lot of, you know, policy options moving forward and how we can make sure that Iowans are making enough money really ties to increasing worker power, you know, through labor unions and things like that. So it is a concern on both sides, for workers and for businesses.
It almost sounds like a kind of a tale of two cities, workers, and there are hundreds of thousands of them in the state of Iowa, and there are mm-hmm. thousands of businesses in the state of Iowa that mm-hmm. that maybe at some point there's got to be some legislative changes to allow workers a seat at the table. It would just seem that that might be the only answer, because we've continued down this path of continuing to cut taxes for businesses, and that cuts the revenue for the state of Iowa, which then is transported to cutting necessary services for individuals who require them, everything from health care, I suspect, to daycare, which is a horrid mess in the state of Iowa. It is just a real conundrum, and, you know, it's interesting that we don't hear about this very much until we dive into folks like the Iowa Policy Project.
Right.
Just let me ask just a different question, if I can. Mm-hmm. I mentioned something about child care. Have you guys done anything on that in the state
yes.
of Iowa?
Yes, absolutely. We look at child care, you know, pretty thoroughly at the Iowa Policy Project. We focus on child care assistance. You know, we know that a lot of Iowans are having trouble accessing child care overall. We're seeing child care deserts, but specifically when we're looking at child care assistance, which is a state program, we're finding that, you know, people aren't able to get the assistance that they need. If someone even is able to get child care assistance, they might not be able to find a center in their area that accepts it.
Right.
And we also know that the state, you know, is reimbursing providers at a very low level, which makes it unattractive for providers to accept child care assistance. We also see something called a cliff effect with child care assistance in Iowa, where, you know, if a worker in a family sees a modest pay increase, they could end up losing thousands of dollars worth of child care assistance. So that's this cliff that they're falling off of. And that's really not helpful for workers, because child care, you know, is essential for making sure that, you know, families are able to get to work, especially single parent households.
Yeah.
So that's a big issue that Iowa will need to, you know, kind of pony up and address.
Yeah, and we have been talking with people under the Golden Dome here recently, and there doesn't seem to be much movement, although I understand that some legislators are sympathetic, that's the words that they use, to the plight, but unable to make any changes in the legislature.
Right.
And this cliff effect, what you're talking about, family of four, if you make, I believe it's under $34,000 a year, you can get some assistance, but that's 140%, I think, of the federal poverty rate. But if you make $5 more than that, you're cut off, and that just doesn't work very well for families. And besides that, try to get by a family of four on $34,000 in today's world. So.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing that we talk about, too, is looking at, you know, how effective is the poverty measure, and really thinking about how many families are able to actually make ends meet.
Right.
We do our cost of a living analysis, where we look at, you know, what it really takes to get by in Iowa, what those family budgets look like, how many families are able to make ends meet, how many aren't, and how important work support programs like Medicaid, the Earned Income Tax Credit, and, you know, child care assistants are in bridging the gap between your take-home income and actually being able to make ends meet. And what we find in our 2019 analysis is that many families need to be making at least two times the poverty level in order to meet basic needs. And when I'm talking about meeting basic needs, I'm talking about, you know, cooking food at home, no
sure.
Netflix, no vacation. it's
we're talking
really
about
modest,
pretty bare bones living.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're finding that, you know, one in five Iowa working households, so that's a household that has at least one full-time worker in it, is unable to meet basic needs on income alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem.
Natalie, what does your research say that a family might need to make per hour to...
Oh, that's a great question.
Thanks. I think it's someplace there.
Right. So we have our cost of living research where we are constructing these family budgets, and they're different for different family types. You know, it depends, are you a single person or are you, you know, a family of four with one or two workers? And then we also have these budgets for every county in the state of Iowa. So we're looking at different family types, and we're also looking at, you know, different counties. And so we come up with this budget, and we come up with a wage that is needed to make ends meet. So it really varies by, you know, the county that you're talking about and by the family type. But I can come up with an example if that would be helpful.
Sure, of course.
At least statewide on average. So let's see. If we are talking about a single individual, this is a statewide average, we're looking at a wage of almost $13 an hour in order to meet basic needs. And if we recall, Iowa's state minimum wage is $7.25 and has been for the past decade. And when we're looking at other households, for example, a single parent household with two children, our analysis shows that that household needs more than $22 an hour in order to meet basic needs for a single parent family with two children, which is well above the minimum wage and even the median wage in Iowa, which is almost $18.
So the median wage in Iowa is $18, but your analysis looks at a living wage, I mean people that have the basic necessities of a,
right.
a single parent, two kids, somewhere close to $23 an hour.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. And yet, Iowa is a low-wage state.
Yes.
Which is where we started at. All right.
Yeah.
Natalie Veldhaus, thank you so much for spending some time with me. I really do appreciate that. It's interesting to hear another side of the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Natalie Veldhaus from the Iowa Policy Project, our conversation about why Iowa is such a low-wage state, something we don't normally hear, right? Well, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For those folks and for Natalie Veldhaus, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.